glad to see so many of us out tonight, and I trust that we might read the Word as the prophet has said distinctly, trust that we might be able to give the sense of it, and that the Spirit of God will cause us to understand it. What a blessing it is, the freedom that we have, none daring to make us afraid, and to open up our Bibles and read the Word of God together. And as Clint emphasizes so often, to muse and to meditate upon it. I want to read with you in John's Gospel, chapter 14. John's Gospel, chapter 14. I still hear some pages moving, and I'm going to wait a moment, and then I'll begin to read. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also, and from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us, or satisfies us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Believe me, that I am in the Father, and the Father in me. Or else, believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us, and not unto the world? Jesus answered and saith unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, my Father will love him, we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Now drop down to verse 27 And I want to read another verse there. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. I'm sure you will and have all noticed that the first sentence, the first verse that I read was, let not your heart be troubled. And then the last verse that I read was, let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And in between these two verses, I believe we have at least 10 cures for heart trouble. I don't know how it's been with you up here, but the last couple weeks that I spent down in Florida, it just seemed when I would get the news, there right on the front page, there'd be a great word, WHAT, great in capital letters, know ye not that 34, what's the word I want? Not minutes, seconds. Every 34 seconds. What, know ye not that every 34 seconds someone dies of heart trouble in the United States? And then when I would turn on the television and maybe Jeopardy or what's the other one, Louisa? Wheel of Fortune. They're the only two programs that I can understand anymore. I've lived out my generation. But I can understand those two pretty good. But before I could look at those, I would see right there, what on the screen? What? Know ye not that every 4 seconds someone dies in the United States with heart trouble? And then I can still multiply, and I got to working 60 seconds in a minute, 60 minutes in an hour, and 24 hours in a day, and I multiplied those together. And then I took 34 into that big number. And how many people do you think dies of heart trouble in the United States every day? 5,445. See, I don't forget everything. But think of that. I could just hardly take that in. And then, of course, down in Florida, if you ask people where I live, because we are of the older group, we're not old people, but we're just of the older group, and if you ask them, who has heart trouble or takes any medicine for the heart, you could hardly find a person that doesn't. And you know that Dr. Hawk down here at Waynesboro gave me some here a couple years ago for my heart. I would walk down the hill and they tell me it's almost 100 feet from where I live till I get to my mailbox. Until I get to my mailbox or down here to the meeting and get back up, I've climbed 100 feet. And I have to twice stop and take a blow. I don't know whether you all know what a blow is. It's a puff. And if you don't know what a puff is, it's throwing your shoulders back and drawing some air, oxygen, into your heart. So I believe that here we have a lesson tonight for all of us in connection with heart trouble. I'm not going to ask you to hold up your hand how many of you take a heart pill, but I'm sure if I would, there would be a good many would be taking something for their heart. So I feel as though I've got a message here for us all. Not for just you, but for me too. And I trust that the Spirit of God may show us some of these cures for for a heart trouble. And right away you see one of them right off the bat. Let not your heart be troubled. Verse 1. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. There is a cure for heart trouble. If you remember, the disciples had left their little all to follow the Lord Jesus. They left their homes. They left beloved ones. They left their nets, that which was their supply for food. And they followed the Lord Jesus. Now just imagine him saying these words. What a shock it must have been to them when he said to them, I'm going away. And that's what he said in the latter part of chapter 13. I'm going away, and where I'm going you cannot come. Oh, what a shock that must have been. They had left their little all to follow him. And I love Peter. He has taught me so many things. And he was, no question about it, he had real courage in his spirit, but his flesh was weak. And oh, to hear Peter say, Lord, why can't I follow thee now? He didn't go over that part of leaving all to follow him, but he says, why can't I follow thee now? I'm ready to lay down my life for thy sake. Oh, his spirit was willing. But the Lord Jesus said to him, Peter, before the rooster crows tomorrow morning, you'll deny me thrice. And I believe that Peter was speaking for all of the disciples that were listening. And so we have those beautiful words, let not your heart be troubled. You're going to deny me thrice, Peter, but let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. And no doubt before the Lord Jesus came on the scene to them, many of them believed in God. And all through the Old Testament, you certainly have them believing in God, whom they had not seen. And now says the Lord Jesus, I'm going out of sight too. And I want you to believe in me. You believe in God, believe also in me. And so what the Lord here actually is saying, and he's calling on them to have faith in himself. And this is a cure for heart trouble. If you believe in God, believe also in me. Peter later on, when he wrote those words so precious to us, he spoke of whom having not seen, you love. Though now you see him not, yet believing, you're filled with what? Joy unspeakable and full of glory, or full of light. Oh, what a blessing that is. Have you taken this remedy for heart trouble yet? Have you believed in one that you have never saw? Why, you'll receive even the end, Peter says, of your salvation, the salvation of your soul. Oh, what a redemption is that, to even now have the saving of your soul. And that's the most important part about you, isn't it? Your soul. Oh, what a blessing this is to know that you have passed from death into life. And you know and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, it's more precious than gold, even though it's tried by fire, even though it's tried with great trial and tribulation and testing. It is more precious than that to just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, I love those words of the Apostle Paul to the jailer. He learned it, the Apostle Paul and the jailer learned it too, when the jailer cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" He had come to the end of the string, and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house." Oh, what a cure for heart trouble that is. But you go down just a little bit, further, and you have some of Christ's precious promises for heart trouble. He speaks about, "In the Father's house are many mansions, and if it were not so, I go to prepare a place for you." Verse 3 says, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Oh, I love to think of him going to prepare a place for me. That's a good promise, isn't it? That's a precious promise. And we believe that when he went to prepare a place for us, he had in mind when he would get into Gethsemane's garden and when he would go to Calvary. And I believe that there he prepared a place for you and I, in the sense that as he faced and knew what he would have to face to prepare that place, there in the Garden of Gethsemane, when his disciples that were so close to him went to sleep, he there sweat, as it were, drops of blood falling down to the ground. I can't explain that, but I believe it. The drops of blood, the awful pressure that was upon him. He sweat drops of blood falling down to the ground. And he went so far as to say, "Oh, if it be possible, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me," talking to his Father. But he didn't stop there. "Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done." Oh, I know you all know these things, but brethren, these are the cures for heart trouble. And what a blessing this is to our soul to know that he loved us not only unto death, but he loved us so much that he would glorify God his Father in the place of death. And so the Father sent his only Son to be the Savior of the world. And there he was willing to be made sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Oh, isn't it a blessed thing to know that all the promises of our Lord Jesus are yea and amen unto the glory of God the Father. And through those many precious promises, we've escaped much of the corruption that is in the world through lust. Oh, don't you love his promises? I sometimes say, when the children will tell me that that the Lord Jesus, he can do everything, and sometimes I say there's one thing he can't do. He cannot lie. Oh, what a blessing that is. And of course, too, he could not sin. And in him no sin was found. And he's pure, holy, and righteous. And he's altogether lovely. He's beyond all compare. The Lord of all creation, the man of Calvary, the Son of God who loved and gave himself for me. Well, there's another
cure for heart trouble, I believe, down in verses 5 and 7. Here Thomas is mentioned first. Right off the bat, Thomas says unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. I know I have often said, possibly you have too, I've heard others say it, about doubtful Thomas, and we don't speak too well of him. But I appreciate Thomas very much in late years, because I believe he brought out of the heart of my loving Lord a real cure for heart trouble. He had doubts, I have no doubt. And I know this, that so often when I have doubts, and you have doubts too, you go to somebody that has more doubts than you do in order to discuss it. And what happens when you do that? Well, it's only confusion and creature complaints. But he took his doubts to the right person. He took his doubts to the Lord Jesus. And oh, I love to think of this cure for heart trouble here in connection with Thomas. When Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thomas learned very clearly that salvation was in a person. And it wasn't in some way that he would concoct or he would organize in order to get to the Father and to the Father's house. And so the Lord Jesus says to Thomas, I am the way, the truth, and the life. At our prayer meeting tonight, one of our brethren prayed for T. Ernest Wilson. And I love that chorus that he is the originator of. And that is this. We sing it here still. Without the way, there is no going. Without the truth, there is no knowing. Without the life, there is no growing. That's what Jesus said. Oh, what a blessing that is to your souls. And I'm sure you're glad you're in the family of God, but isn't it wonderful to know that there is life in that family? There's the way, the truth, and the life. And there is growing. I sometimes say, when people say, how are you? And they so often say that to me, and I hardly know how to answer back. How are you, Charlie, today? Well, I sometimes just say, oh, the Lord is good. The outward man, he's perishing, and he's perishing pretty fast. But the inward man is renewed day by day. And oh, it's a blessed thing to know this, isn't it? That the inward man is being renewed day by day. Well, what a blessing Thomas is to us all. And he brought out of the heart of our Lord Jesus this precious, precious cure for heart trouble. I am the way, the truth, and the life. And, of course, he says in verse 7, if ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him and have seen him. I know that you and I will say, in connection with these cures for heart trouble, we're apt to say, well, we weren't one of those disciples who saw him. But, oh, you know, John very clearly said, we heard him, we saw him, we looked upon him, our hands have handled of the word of life, and we declare him unto you, that you might have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with God the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, what a cure for heart trouble. I know we had the 19th Psalm last Wednesday night. And of course, the heavens declare the glory of God and expanse His handiwork. Day unto day utter speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. There's not a language where their voice is not heard. And some have thought in connection with that, all souls are saved, and saved from heart trouble through creation. But creation actually leaves man without excuse, because God speaks to man through creation, and man, if he's got any mind and honesty about it at all, he'll say there's a master designer back of all of this creation. But for salvation, you've got to come down a little further in that psalm and read those words about the word of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Oh, apart from that word, the soul cannot be converted. But oh, what a blessing it is for us to know that Thomas took his doubt to the one who could properly solve his problem. Well, let's go a little further. We go down to verse 8, we have Philip. And Philip says unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it'll satisfy us. And Jesus said unto Philip, I have been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou, show us the Father? And no doubt, Philip was a little, maybe a little charismatic in his thinking, and I think it's good to be a little charismatic. But I believe that he went to the extent in connection with charismatic feelings that he thought something out of the very ordinary had to happen to him in order to know God the Father and to know his way to the Father's house. And there are those today who will tell you, if you don't have the second blessing of the Spirit, you are not in that group that is filled with the Spirit. And you're not with that group that actually knows their way to heaven and are sure of it. And so they almost leave out those of us who are just beginners in the faith. But all that isn't true. Philip, I have fully revealed the Father. If you want to know who the Father is, Philip, you'll find him revealed in me. And if you don't want to just believe that, believe it for my very work's sake. And oh, when you think of the work that the Lord Jesus did, how that he opened the eyes of the blind, how he healed the lepers, and even though 9 of them didn't come back to give him thanks, he healed them all. He healed them all. And oh, it's a blessed thing to know the Father. But Philip, believe me for the very work's sake. And then he goes on further than that. Notice this cure for heart trouble. Greater works than these that I do. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, The works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto the Father. Here is another cure, I believe, for heart trouble. Greater works, Philip, greater works than I have done shall ye do. The Lord Jesus, when he left the scene to go back to the Father, there was about 500 brethren who were still alive when he went back. 500 brethren, and maybe a few more. That's how many had actually received him. But oh, just think what happened on the day of Pentecost when Peter and the 11, along with him the 12, stood up and spoke that word in simplicity and godly sincerity of the Lord Jesus, what he accomplished at Calvary, and how many got saved. 3,000, I believe, wasn't it, on the day of Pentecost? How many did I save? 500. Yes. That's far more than 500, isn't it? Then if you look over into the next chapter, I believe it's chapter 3, they spoke again, we find that there was 4,000 got saved. And then if you go over in the next chapter, I think you'll find 5,000 got saved. And oh, what did they do? They continued. The disciples that got saved, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking of bread, and prayers. Oh, what a cure for heart trouble. Then let us look at verse 13. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. My, when I read this, it almost scared me. If ye shall ask anything in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. What is he saying here? I believe he's saying, learn to know the Father's will. And if you ask anything in my name, I have the authority to supply what you need. Oh, how much we need to muse and meditate upon the Word of God in order that we might ask according to His will. Well, that's a blessed truth to know and to hear Him say, all power, ask in my name, and we were singing about it tonight, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And He goes on to tell them to preach the gospel and also to teach them all the things that He had taught them. And He said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. What a cure for heart trouble. But let's look again. He says, I will not, in verse 16, I will pray the Father, and He shall give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him. But ye know Him, for He dwelleth in you and shall be, He dwelleth with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Oh, what a cure for heart trouble that is and was for the disciples. And it caused a question to be raised in the heart of Judas, not Iscariot. Judas, no doubt, by this time, possibly had gone out and hung himself. But this is not Judas Iscariot, one of the disciples whom Jesus loved and who loved the Lord Jesus. And he raises a question, and he says, how is it that you can reveal yourself unto us and not unto the world? And then Jesus answered him, answered and said unto him, and oh, don't you love this? If a man love me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him. We will come unto him and make our abode with him. Oh, if you love the Lord Jesus, and he loved you because you love him because he first loved you, and if you love the Lord Jesus, who is it that makes their abode in you? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Oh, it's so hard to take in, isn't it? What the Apostle Paul, in the Corinthian epistle, he says, what? W-H-A-T? What? And the question mark after the what? Know ye not that you're not your own? You have been bought with a price. Glorify God in your bodies, which are his. And oh, to think that the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit has taken up residence in each one of us who can say, I love the Lord Jesus. Doesn't it thrill you, brethren, when you hear one of our younger brethren especially getting up and saying, Lord Jesus, we love thee. We love thee. Oh, when he's saying that, he's actually saying, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost has taken up residence in me. Well, we've just got 5 minutes more, and I want to bring the two more cures for heart trouble, and that is found in verse 27. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. And I know that we've often seen here that there's two different kinds of peace, or maybe I shouldn't say kinds of peace, but there are two phases or phrases of it. And the peace I leave with you, I have no doubt that he is speaking there quite clearly of the peace that he made by the blood of the cross. Oh, when you think of that veil in the temple being rent from the top to the bottom, and he was rent in all that he was in his own body from the top to the bottom. And I believe without a doubt the first thing that we ought to lay hold of in connection with heart trouble is to realize that he glorified God in his death. And then, in that same death, he goes back, as it were, we go back to Calvary, and there we see that there's the place where it is, it was accomplished, where God was glorified. And the Lord Jesus himself says in the 15th chapter, I have glorified thee in the earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. But then he ends up and says, my peace, I leave with you. And when you think of his peace, it seems as though he rarely ever got to the place where he didn't have peace in his pathway down here. And this was that personal peace that he had. I don't mean to say that he never got angry. Oh, he got so angry that he clubbed, as it were, the people out of his father's house. He says, "You made my father's house, what was it, a den of thieves." And then there's going to be another time when he's going to get real angry. And even those who have been in high places, kings, are going to cry out and to be taken out of the very presence of the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Hide us, rocks and mountains, from the wrath of the Lamb. Yes, he had wrath, but in all of his ways and movements, he had peace that passeth understanding. And in closing, I just want to read a little bit, I believe, about this peace in Philippians chapter 4, and we'll close. Look at Philippians. Philippians chapter 4. Here, I believe, we see his peace in his own. Rejoice in the Lord always. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. Let your moderation, let your gentleness be known unto all men. Oh, how gentle he was. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Oh, isn't that a cure for heart trouble? Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Oh, what a blessing is the peace of God. And to see it here mentioned twice in these verses, and to know that it passeth understanding. May the Lord, by His Spirit, help you and I to take these cures for heart trouble, not just tonight, but have them all day long, and that we'll be saved from this present evil world. And as John himself says, all that is in the world is but the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life. These things are not of the Father, but of the world. And this world is not our home. Shall we pray? Maybe you have a hymn you wanted to call out.